Fierce Athlete Podcast.
This season, we're talking about the it factor, the toolbox of attributes beyond your skills, drills, and stats.
Whether you're looking to be a standout recruit, a leader on your team, or be an influence beyond your athletic career, these topics will help you become the best athlete and person you can be.
We're going deep to discuss how to grow in virtue and strength, ultimately becoming a fierce athlete.
Welcome back to the Fierce Athlete Podcast. This is Sam Kelly, and I am joined by
Danae Weaver
and
Angel Hayes.
And we are together. We are recording, having a good old time here in Philadelphia. And we just say hello to you wherever you are listening from. I know we have listeners from all over the world, New Zealand, Australia. Shout out to you guys, especially. But, you know, let us know where you're from. Let us know where you're listening from. Leave a comment. Reach out to us on social media. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you and love to hear how we can support you. So this season, we have been talking about the it factor, the different tools that, you know, we want to be incorporating into our physical, mental, and spiritual games in order to be better athletes. Just a fun anecdote. Angel and I were out rowing early this morning, and we're literally like, the conditions were not great. It's very windy. The water is very choppy and swirly. And we were yelling out some of the themes since we're talking about them, you know, internal drive, confidence, attitude. And today's came into a factor a little bit. And today's topic is toughness. So what is toughness?
Seems like it's something that you definitely need if you're going to be a competitive athlete. Whew, toughness. Yeah, I think of pain. You know? I mean, if you're going to be tough, what are you being tough about? I guess, you know, it's that ache, that the tiredness that competing, you know, brings to our physical bodies. And I would say the most successful athletes are probably the ones that can tolerate, like they have a high tolerance for being in that threshold of that physical pain, you know, in the either the later stages of the game or, you know, that last 100 meters of the race, that threshold of pain.
Yeah. I would say definitely with what Danae brought up was that there's definitely an aspect of being mentally tough, but also physically tough. I think your body has to physically be able to go through suffering, but also mentally you have to be able to go through suffering because sometimes your body will give out slower than your mind will give up.
Mm.
Absolutely.
No, that's so true. And I heard this from my old trainer. It's like, stay in the pain cave, mm-hmm. You know, like once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to get much worse. It's just going to, it's going to kind of be a constant hurt. But that you're right. It's that choice to stay at that threshold, to push beyond that comfort zone, to be uncomfortable. Because I mean, that's a big reality of sport.
Yeah. To be okay with it, like to know, to not run away or stop or, you know, maybe shut down mentally when that threshold of pain sometimes comes at us quicker than, you know, I mean, we know it's coming, but you know, maybe sometimes depending on how you feel that day, it creeps up on you quicker than you're expecting. And, definitely. And how do you hurdle that? Or how do you receive that to continue playing?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and I think from the mental side, that's kind of almost what we've been talking about the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
Right. Having that positive attitude, you know, having the confidence to enter in, having, you know, I think there's a level of perseverance there mentally. But I think this physical piece is a little bit new.
Yeah. I would say that in terms of gaining toughness, all the attributes that we talked about will help you become tougher. But physically, I feel like you have to endure suffering and then go the extra. Like, it's like, what is gonna, what's gonna make you fail? Like, it's almost like you have to reach failure and at that point push past failure.
Yeah. It just popped into my head just about, I mean, so this idea of suffering and reaching that threshold. And I'm not saying women are tougher than men at all, but like, but our, you know, our gift of receptivity, maybe that does give us a little bit of an edge up, you know, our ability to receive that pain, that suffering mid workout, mid, you know, mid game day, mid race. I don't know. It's just a thought. Maybe as women, enduring that pain, receiving like that pain threshold and pushing past that, maybe that is one of our strong suits. Cause I feel like female athletes are incredibly tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, as you both have been talking, that's something I want to iterate. And that's something that we preach at Fierce is, you know, I think that there's this false belief out there that as a Catholic or a Christian woman, you can't be tough. You know, you need to be a little wallflower. You need to be meek in the bad sense. Meek is actually a very awesome word. You need to be a mouse. And it's like, no, that's actually not what you're called to do. I mean, if you think about labor, if you think about a woman's ability to enter into the suffering of another person, like there's this openness to other, willingness to enter in with them and suffer with them. You know, and I mean, we look at Mary and she's the toughest woman that ever lived. Like the level of, she suffered more than any other woman ever because she was perfect. And you know, she crushes the head of Satan. Like she's tough. But I think when you look at sport, it's so funny. You know, I'm a soccer player and I'm not bashing on men. Men have their own gifts. But if you look at men's soccer versus women's professional soccer, I mean, you get a lot of diving and a lot of faked injuries, right? Rolling on the ground. It's kind of become a little bit of a spoof. In men's soccer versus women's soccer, like I've seen women get like kicked in the face or elbowed in the nose and they like keep going.
Yeah. I definitely feel like there's this ability for women to push beyond pain because there's this emotional aspect to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like
emotionally they're going to be there for their teammates.
Absolutely. There's an emotional aspect. Like just as an example, I mean, when I think about our row this morning and I think about how I was suffering. I was not happy.
We were trying to have the best bad day.
Yeah. I mean, the conditions were tough. It was a hard workout. Just a little bit of competition with the other people around us. But the best minute I had was when we offered it up for Danae. And like
the last minute of the workout,
the last minute of the workout was when we offered up. That's my best rowing. And it was because I had this emotional piece to it that I put into my suffering and it allowed me to push beyond what I was capable of before.
And maybe that's what toughness is. Like it's almost redirecting that because the pain's coming. Like
yeah, it's inevitable.
You're in that threshold. Like, so maybe that's what toughness is that acceptance, that receptivity of pain, but then redirecting it to have purpose or to make you better, you know, kind of naming, okay, this pain right now is for this.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think that I've been doing some reading recently, and then there's definitely this aspect of redemption to suffering. So in terms of your suffering serves a greater purpose and has a higher power to it. So I think between offering and thinking about your teammates, I think that it does make a difference and you can reframe your mind based off of that.
What a gift that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it gives you that ability to push beyond. But I mean, we were joking earlier. Now we're getting more seasoned. But I think about my college career, I was always hurt. Mm. Like I had big injuries. Okay. I couldn't play, but I always had something like a sprained ankle or a sore Achilles or a, you know, a pulled quad or, and you just, at least the level I was playing at, and maybe it was also, you know, the toughness that I'd been taught, but you always played through.
Yeah.
I mean, of course there is a limit to, okay, when I tore my meniscus, I couldn't really pivot on my knee. So, all right, I'm going to have to stop and get surgery then. But, you know, I think today I see a lot of athletes that aren't willing to suffer. They're not willing to push through. You know, they're, you know, like if we had gone out this morning, it was raining, it was cold, and the water was terrible. It's best to row if you don't, those of you don't know, when the water is very calm and like glass-like, and it was choppy, it was swirly. And it's like, we could blame a tough workout or a bad performance on that, but everybody else out there had to deal with the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is no such thing as bad weather, just soft people.
That's awesome. Great quote. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. No. But I mean, going back to your thoughts on injury or, you know, playing through, we're not saying, you know, you have a broken bone or something crazy like that to play through.
Broken bones.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You are exceptionally tough. So, but yeah, when it's like something little here or there, I feel that a lot of players, it comes from kind of back to the attitude conversation. It's more of a security blanket, more of a, you know, I kind of want something to hold in my cards to blame it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't play well, you know, I'm a little scared to fail. I'm going to, well, my knee doesn't feel that good.
In terms of,
Not having a security blanket.
There is, I don't know if anybody has seen it that's watching or listening, but the movie Free Solo. And this guy, Alex Honnold?
Yep.
Yeah, he climbs these crazy, like, I can't even describe to you, these crazy routes that nobody
he's
has.
He's a rock climber.
He's a rock climber.
Yep.
Has never climbed before, but to the extreme, he also climbs without a rope or a harness. He just does it
free solo. And by himself.
Yeah, by himself. And during this movie and like documentary, they talk about how he climbs better when he doesn't have that, because falling isn't an option.
Failure is not an option. What a winning attitude.
Yeah. Seriously, he's like, hyper-focused, because if not,
you're going to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he will not accept to fail.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that. Yeah.
Now, he'll practice the route a bunch of times with the harness to disclaim and know it and study it and be ready for it. But when it comes to doing it, he's all in.
Yeah.
And it's mentally, it's hours, it's physically grueling. But then he knows his limits. Like in the movie, there's a point where he goes to climb it, you know, and he gets a little bit of ways up and he's like, today's not the day.
Yeah.
He just knew something was off. He wasn't feeling great, you know? And then another day he just was like randomly like, today's the day. And he like, just does it.
Yeah. Well, that's the self-awareness. Like he knows himself so well, he knows his strengths, and he's not copping out or, you know, trying to like use an injury as an excuse, but he's realistic with himself and understands, his limits. That's incredible.
Yep.
So why is this important for our team? Like, how do we practice toughness? What happens to our team, you know, if we are all surrounding each other and bringing that toughness to our game?
Mm. I mean, I think it creates a sense of resilience. Like to your line before, there's no such thing as bad weather. There's just soft people. A lot of the athletes listening play outdoor sports or run outside or, you know, are out training for their marathon in the snow or, you know, and it's those bad weather experiences when the water is choppy, because you might show up to a race day and it's going to be choppy. When you push through those things, even when you don't feel your best, like that's creating this level of toughness. And you never know. You never know. Like you might have a PR on a day that you have a cold because you're hyper aware. It's almost like sometimes when I'm sore, I actually run faster because you start off the run in pain. It's not like it gets gradually worse. You start off the run in pain, you know, because if I'm sore from a lift or whatever from the day before, and I just fly because it's like, I'm already here. Let's just do it.
Yeah. Well, and you know that, you know, maybe I'm starting a little bit behind. So it's maybe it's like that mindset, that extra that you bring to the table that pushes you past what you originally thought.
Well, you think about those like notorious, I don't know, like Instagram or whatever videos on YouTube videos where like somebody loses a shoe or the distance races where they get tripped,
they catch up
and they get up and they win. I have a good friend who won the Nebraska high school cross country championship with one shoe.
That's incredible.
Like early on came off. And there's this infamous picture of her like running on this cross country course with one shoe on, and she won states. I mean,
that's amazing.
She crushed it, but it was this
picture of that, and we will label it toughness.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Oh, it's awesome. Okay, so we've kind of talked about a physical toughness, a mental toughness, but you know, how does this then relate to our spiritual life? Mm-hmm. How does this relate to our internal spirit, our souls?
I think in the spiritual life, I think that there's this aspect of when you're seeking goodness and truth, I feel like the devil's always going to kind of try to creep in a little bit.
He's a sneaky guy.
He's a sneaky guy.
He is trying to tear us down when we are on the right path. Yeah, for sure.
So when you're seeking that adversity, it's going to teach you to overcome that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And beyond the devil, I mean, yes, he works through the culture and through other people, but it's just other people sometimes.
Yeah, that's
right. Living a authentically truth-filled, joy-filled life, moral life is countercultural. It's very countercultural, I'm sure, for a lot of our teams, a lot of our environments, our workplaces, our families. And so, you know, one of the things that Christ does guarantee, he guarantees that, you know, we will be persecuted as Christians. Yeah. I mean, look, if we're following him, look what happened to him.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's that definite need for a spiritual toughness, a resilience rooted in, I know that this is true and this is real and that I am loved and that my ultimate goal is heaven.
And the suffering, the challenge, like the, is worth it.
Yeah. Right.
It's worth that.
Exactly.
It is worth that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if, I don't know about you, I feel like being a Christian, being a Catholic is challenging. Like, I'm not sure if anybody can say, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, I love it. It's pretty easy.
There is that lie though. Oh, I know Jesus now. Everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies.
That,
and it's like,
I think
well, what,
my
what Jesus are you following?
Yeah.
He was crucified.
Yeah. Can we please talk in reality? Like, I don't know what that type of Christianity is. Like, it is tough. I mean, In my team experiences, when I was part of a team, several teams, I would not say that living a Christian moral life was, you know, the spotlight. It was not the road most traveled for sure. So there's definitely this piece of isolation and confusion. And yeah, you know, you're looking at your team and you want to be successful, so you want to get to know them and build relationships. But to do that amidst the realization that I'm also not going to sacrifice what is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of that tension.
Yeah. Well, and you get that, not that I'm trying to think if I ever got real aggressive, never got like real aggressive persecution, like somebody in my face. I mean, since I've had some instances, but there were the offhand comments. There were the complaining that we were praying. A couple of us were praying on the sideline. We had to now do it in the locker room so nobody could see us. Like there were those little comments and judgments and people talking behind your back, you know. But at the end of the day, I almost didn't, not that it didn't hurt, but I was so confident in and so mentally and spiritually tough in what I was doing that
that was more important.
It almost like shows that you're on the right path.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, for sure. Well, I've had a family friend who is a priest. I think he's our second or third cousin, but he always says like, if you're not ticking somebody off, you know, you're probably not doing it right, because
yeah, that's true.
You know, we are trying to live a lifestyle that is definitely countercultural.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we have any examples of people that, I don't know, have inspired us to be more mentally tough, physically tough, spiritually tough?
I mean, the one I can think of is
my little hometown hero.
Yeah. Hometown hero. Drum roll.
So, yes, I am from Kansas. I can't believe I haven't given that
shit. You haven't.
Yet.
You have a very, it's a record.
Passionate Kansas girl.
Quite passionate.
I love the Midwest. If you need any Kansas facts, I would love to have a conversation.
What's your favorite day of the year?
Kansas Day. It is January 29th. I will make Kansas Day cookies. If you send me your address, maybe you'll have one in the mail.
And there'll be sunflowers. Our sunflowers, those of you watching on YouTube, in our background. Special for the Kansan.
Back to toughness. Another Kansan that we love, he's actually on the road to sainthood. Father Capon, Father Emil Capon, is from my little tiny home parish in Pilsen, Kansas, about an hour outside of Wichita. But his life, honestly, just spews, just seeps toughness. To give a little bit of his story, I'll kind of highlight his time in the Korean War. So he was a chaplain in the Korean War, and they were taken prisoner of war, right? And there's countless stories of just his, his loyalty, like all the characteristics that made him an incredible man. But he actually went back for his soldiers and was then captured, right? So we kind of had this choice of like, if I keep going this way, I'll be fine. You know, I'll make it out. But he chose to go back and be with his guys, his boys. He called them his boys. And he was taken prisoner of war. And they had to hike 60 miles to their prisoner of war camp. The Chinese soldiers had a gun to one of his boys' head. And he was so brave. He was so bold. Like all of these characteristics we are talking about, like he had. He pushed this soldier out of the way. Like gun to this man's head, he physically pushed him out of the way, and he grabbed him and carried him, and like him and these soldiers carried this man for 60 miles.
Because was he injured?
He was injured, so he wasn't going to be able to make the hike himself. Wow. So the soldiers were, you know, going to get rid of him because he couldn't make the hike. So then, I mean, that was just getting there.
You know? That's just physically tough, right?
Physically tough, mentally, wow. You know, and then in the prisoner of war camp, he was stealing food. He was giving away his food. He was, just being an incredible athlete, honestly. Like the physicality of that time was immense. So yeah, that toughness, like his attitude and what he brought to his boys there, mm-hmm. gave them hope to survive. I mean, yeah. You know, that's like toughness to the extreme.
Right. Yeah. He's giving them that spiritual nourishment, like. I'm sure that's what helped them be tough, is the fact that they still had, a spiritual father with them fighting for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I could just go on and on. I'll save it though. There's several books on Father Capon.
We'll do a little plug though.
Yeah.
Every June.
It is June. It is usually the first weekend in June, I believe.
The first weekend in June, pilgrims now do, in honor of Father Capon, do a pilgrimage from Wichita to your home parish.
Yeah, to kind of emulate that 60 miles hike from, you know, where they were taken prisoners to their to the camp. So we emulate that, and we, over 4 days, we pilgrimage to Pilsen, Kansas, this barely town. I think about 50 people live there, but it's the most gorgeous church maybe ever. And we honestly just endure some physical pain of that journey. It's no joke. It's pretty physically challenging, but it is wonderful. Is Fierce going to be there?
We are. So that's our plug. If you need to work on your toughness, and you're an athlete, former athlete, we are going to organize a group for the coming year to do this pilgrimage as a group.
for spiritual growth, for, I mean, physical growth.
Mental
for,
growth, yeah. physical growth. So keep an eye out for details on that. Danae will be leading it.
Leading the charge.
Leading the charge for fifth time yeah. doing it, I think. So, no, but that is, there's truth to that, right? We need to be doing things that help us increase our toughness.
We're not, you don't just show up to the game tough.
No. It's like, yeah, no, we got to train. We got to compete well. We got to, you know, do things that are uncomfortable and really put that practice in. So with that, we'd love to just leave you with a verse and then a takeaway challenge.
Ooh, it's going to be a good one.
It's a good
so one. I will read the verse and then our little champion over here will talk to you about the challenge and then lay down her record and see if anybody can beat it. Okay, so this verse is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. We think that this really embodies toughness. It'll be in the show notes. We encourage you to pray with it this week. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. And this is written, I believe, by St. Paul, as he's imprisoned and waiting to be executed. And so what a beautifully confident thing to say that he's been tough and he's competed well and he's finishing the race. And now he's awaiting that righteousness. So what's our takeaway? How can we help our listeners work on their toughness?
Join us with this.
Yeah, join us with this. So something that I thought would be a good takeaway / challenge for the week was a wall sit and/or plank challenge. So I one time...
I love telling people this.
Yeah, this is like Samantha's fun fact for
I do. When I introduce people. Her, I'm like, guess what? She.
Yeah. So I was very challenged in terms of my toughness one time, and I wanted to, and I'm also very competitive. So I held a 12-minute wall sit and an 8-minute plank.
Forearm plank.
Yeah, forearm plank. And I challenge all of you to see how long until failure you can hold a wall sit and/or a plank.
Do it with your team. Have that team encouragement.
A 90-degree angle on the wall sit.
Yeah, yeah.
No sagging on the forearm
no
plank.
Bad form.
But yeah, post your times and send us a picture. We'd love to see you guys
maybe we'll do a fierce team.
You might see us doing it.
Retest.
Oh yeah. I'm already stretching for it. Yeah. And, you know, use this as an opportunity to practice that toughness, to stay in that threshold, to be mentally tough, to believe in yourself, and then also pick an intention, pick somebody to offer it up for. And that will just help with your spiritual toughness as well. Well, this has been a fun one. We love talking about toughness. We know you are all tough, and we hope that this has provided you with just some insight in how to grow in toughness from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. So thanks again for listening. Feel free to share this with a teammate, share it with a friend, leave us a review wherever you're listening. And if this has been something that has blessed you, we ask that you would bless us with your prayers first and foremost, but also a monthly financial donation, $5, $10 to keep this podcast going. Know of our prayers for you all, and God bless. Stay tough and stay fierce.
Play fierce.
Pray fierce.
Live fierce.